listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
It's where this shit ain't popping in the Carolinas. I'm a barber with a shoddy shot at every lineup. I ain't never seen a million, I'm a full throttle. Yeah, deposits. I like it. The same hands that get hands out you fight with. You gotta say what you mean and when you don't like shit. Hey, I used to be the nigga not controlling the vibe. They gotta see a leader when they look in his eyes. I gotta make this shit change. I ain't get about the fields just to pump fake. Grab place cause you know we about to vibe pies. Four ways finna jump up on the price tag. Roll rage. Soon enough you get fed up playing all day. You gotta add work and you been praying all day. And never trust a hoe that be laying up all day. I got a first class woman. Hey. Welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And I am playing a little injured today again. So just warning, I'm a little sick. I'm gonna try to make this thing work. But it's our Walking Dead recap. And it's the finale, so we couldn't miss it.
No.
We had to be here for you people. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search the Black Guy Who Tips, leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everyone takes time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. Look, today's podcast is brought to you by our TE Public Store. They have a sale going right now, 30% off of everything. So you can get like shirts for like $14 and stuff like that. And we have some new shirts. You know, we have our Fetty Carl shirt. Mm-hmm. We have our Thanos Was Right shirt, which should get here just in time for everybody to wear to the Avengers outing. So when Thanos whoops everybody's ass, we can all be walking out the theater and everybody can be mad at us. Cause that's why I'm wearing it. I want them to be like, he killed Tony. And I'm gonna be like, well, he had a point.
Nah.
And then, we also got our Rick and Morgan shirt, which I'm wearing right now. in the chat, you can see it. It's basically done, in the same design as Rick and Morty, but Rick and Morgan. I mean, it's so brilliant. I can't believe no one ever thought of this before us. At any rate, thank you for listening and we appreciate y'all and sorry about my voice and we're gonna do our best with it. So I guess we can get right into it.
We actually watched this. Well, most of y'all know we actually watched this in the movie theaters and it was greatness and it was commercial free and I was here for it.
Let me tell you something. If I could watch every episode of Walking Dead in the movie theater with a crowd of people that wanted to see it, I'd do it.
Me too. It was such a fun experience.
No offense to Twitter and all the haters and all that stuff. I don't really need y'all's opinion in real time. And a lot of people, you know, it's at this point, it's just as cool to be snarky about the show as it is to genuinely enjoy it.
Right.
And so you have this mix, no matter how you feel, whether you're snarky or whether you're the people that really enjoy it, it feels like there's a tension between everybody and it gets on each other's nerves a little bit when it's like, why you gotta like this thing that I don't like and why you gotta not like this thing I do like? And it was cool to be in a theater with people that paid money and we knew everybody that liked the show and was rooting for the best. And it kind of is like a big old family. We saw a couple fans.
Yeah.
In the line. We went to the concessions. That was cool. Karen got a selfie with them.
I put it up online. It's on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Right. So that was cool. And then we went in and watched it. Commercial free is the best way to watch it.
What? Oh, that was the best shit ever.
Like, you don't realize just how many fucking commercials there are. Mm-mm. Until you watch it without commercials and you're like, that was a quick 40 minutes or whatever. And we actually watched this and Fear the Walking Dead and we got home after eating Taco Bell. We got home
and y'all still
before Fear the Walking Dead was off. That's how many commercials is in it. So that might be another thing that kind of hurts the show. I don't know, for some people, the pacing and stuff, but I really enjoyed it. As far as the experience, it was one of the best experiences. And
if they do it again, I'm going. If they do one for Game of Thrones, I'm going.
Yeah, I don't know why people keep saying that. I don't know if they could do one for Game of Thrones because it's HBO, not AMC. It's a little bit different. Okay. I mean, maybe they would, but I don't think they've done one so far. Show.
Okay.
Yet. Maybe they will. Maybe, yeah. Maybe it'll be the first one.
Maybe. If nothing else, I could see them doing it for the finale. You know.
Yeah, I kind of wouldn't want them to do it for Game of Thrones. I feel like that bitch gonna be crowded. But
that's true. You definitely would have to get a larger theater.
You had to get your tickets ahead of time, way ahead of time. Anyway, it was dope. And if you're into that kind of stuff, check out Fandango. Not Fandango. What's the name of the thing? It's called Fathom Events.
Yes.
Fathom Events with an F. Fathom.
Yeah. And we watched several things. We watched Dragon Ball Z through that, and we watched both of the live action Death Notes.
Right. And just as the experience, whether it's the Rocky Horror Picture Show, they're not paying us to say this, by the way.
Yeah, they do opera, all types of shit.
We've had some great experiences in the theater because everybody wants to be there, and that changes everything.
And they spent their money, so that changes everything too.
Yeah, so you know, you got people in cosplay, you got people you know, all kinds of stuff, man. Everybody's early. They do trivia sometimes beforehand. Yeah,
they're just happy to be there.
Yeah. Now this thing was kind of funny because it said it started at 8:30, and I knew that was probably wrong, but we got there at 8:30 anyway, and it started at 9:00.
Yeah, that's probably be sure everybody was there on time.
And they were like, "Don't spoil anything, and no phones."
And at first I didn't understand, and I was like, "Oh, it's probably because it's commercial free, so we're gonna be ahead of like real time."
Yeah, we literally could have walked out the theater and spoiled everything, but obviously we wouldn't because we're not assholes. All right, so without further delay, we need to start talking about this episode at some point, right? Mm-hmm. So this is episode 16 of The Walking Dead season 8, the finale, the end of all out war, the saviors versus everybody. you know, we decide the fates of Negan and stuff like that in this one. It had a big uptick on the ratings. It got almost 8 million viewers as opposed to 6.5 we had last week.
Yeah, a lot of that's because people are gonna say, "I just want to see how it ends." Like, they had, I think people wouldn't watch it and just was like, "Let's just see how this shit ends."
And all the people that had DVR in it probably was like, "I'm gonna watch it live now."
Right, because on the low, a lot of people actually DVR the shit.
So at any rate, Karen, what'd you think about this episode overall?
I had a ball. I enjoyed it a lot. Like I said, our experience of watching movie theater was kind of different because when certain things happen, you get a movie theater experience versus you actually watching it on your TV. So instead of, you know, your 42 to 50 inch, you get like 100 some inches of response. So I had a ball.
Yeah. I enjoyed the ambience of the movie theater and watching it with a crowd. They caught me a couple times talking out loud a little bit because there was a couple things that happened. I was just like, damn.
and you could feel like it started things happening. The whole audience went, ooh.
Yeah, but two major things happened that for me completely went against my agendas, and I was very upset by those things. And I could not hide my disappointment in the movie theater, but at the same time I enjoyed the show, and I know how things shook out in the comics anyway, so yeah, let's go ahead and get into our review. Wrath was the name of this episode, and I'm gonna just go with it in linear order because we really don't have a lot of locations anymore. Mm-mm. And it kind of was straightforward this week.
It was real straightforward.
So Rick has flashbacks of the day Carl wrote in that about in that letter, and it's little Carl and Rick before the zombie apocalypse when people still was around and no zombies. And Rick is in the sheriff's outfit, and he's got a clean cut like in season one, and he's putting his hat on a little small Carl, and they're walking around and looking at cows and shit like you know the letter described. And meanwhile, while he's thinking about that, the newly converted saviors that joined the hilltop, they're walking around outside the gate. They also show Rick tucking a baby into her crib. Nah, that's not Judith. I don't know whose baby that is, but I think it was to symbolize, like, you know, the future and shit. And Sadiq comes in to feed that baby with a bottle. And Rick asks Sadiq what happened when Carl died.
That makes sense, from the outpost with the little girl that he killed. Oh. The baby. Oh, I mean, that, he killed the daddy.
So that's right, because Aaron brought that baby there.
Right, because Aaron out doing other things.
Right. Ain't that just like Aaron? Bring a damn baby to the thing and don't even take care of it.
Drop it off.
Must think he's Stevie J. So then Sadiq comes in to feed the baby, and Rick asks Sadiq what happened when Carl died. Now, we know Rick's been in, like, huge denial. He hasn't been ready to even consider or think about it. He's been angry at Sadiq for the fact that Sadiq's here, his son ain't. And he's didn't want to bring in new people and all this shit. No new friends, right? Sadiq takes the long road to tell this story. It's like, he's like, how did it happen? And then Sadiq's all like, once upon a time, my mother was walking in. I'm like, nigga, just tell him Carl got bit trying to save
a long time ago.
Right, he talks about how his mother believed that souls were still trapped in the bodies of zombies, and that killing the zombies freed the souls, and that he told Carl that, and they was walking back, and Carl wanted to honor Sadiq's mom by killing some zombies and releasing their souls, and in that ruckus he got bit, and he blamed himself, by the way.
Oh yeah.
He was like, you know, it's my fault for even telling Carl, and that it was dangerous, and I should have known, and I know that now. And he said the only thing we have left of the dead are their ideas, which of course, message, because Carl's whole idea is we can live in peace and harmony after this war, but we can't just go around killing everybody. And so Sadiq, you know, says this, and Rick thanks him and then leaves.
That's the first quote unquote nice thing that Rick has said to that man since he seen laid eyes on him,
other than stay down when he was about to kill him.
Come on.
Henry tells Carol, who's leaving, you know, that because you know our guys got that inside information, they think, from Dwight. So they're like, we're gonna go in and see if this plan is real, and that Negan's setting up these outposts, and we're gonna kill these people and win the war, catch Negan. So Carol's like, we're gonna beat him today. And Henry's like, yep. And he's like, after we beat him, can you come back to the kingdom? And she was like, maybe, because Carol you know, still thinking about, I think Henry still thinks about how she had that house on the outskirts and wouldn't join everybody, and he wants her to, like, be a part of the kingdom afterwards. And Carol, I think, has softened her stance on that. You know, I remember when she was very much like, leave me alone, I can fend for myself, if I don't have to care about people, I won't get involved in no bullshit.
Right.
And now she's completely the opposite. I think, you know, even though she said maybe, I think that was a bigger maybe than
before she'd be like, no, get the hell away from me, kid.
Right. I think she really broke down when she saved him.
I do too.
And she apologized, or she was like, I'm sorry for giving up on you. So then Jerry and Seek have a conversation, the king, and they talk about whether or not this will be, you know, like Ezekiel's all like, this could be our last day, some of us will not return, you know, like all that stuff. And Jerry's like, we ain't losing shit. You know, we ain't about to, nobody gonna die. You know, like, he's just, he sounded like Ezekiel the first time they went out to battle, and Zeke was just faking right. It. And Zeke was like, nah, man, I mean, it's cool. We, in order to, for everything that we lost, we must sacrifice everything that we have.
Right.
And Jerry's like, we ain't sacrificing shit. And they both laugh and they fist pound. Then our crew discuss if they can trust Gregory's, like, map from Dwight or not.
Right, because you definitely don't trust Gregory.
Right, and Maggie came up with a plan. She gonna lock Gregory in the mansion.
Right, she was like, they get to him, fuck it.
Right, basically, if we go out and it's a trap and an ambush and we lose, they come back to the mansion, the savior's gonna kill his ass anyway. So she's like, this way, if it's a trap, we could kill them too. Like the people who stay here, they see we got ambushed or killed, then they'll just turn around and kill Gregory. So
right, because it'll look like he gave us fake information.
Right. So that was kind of Maggie's whole way of, you know, because you can't trust Gregory, but you can put him in a life or death situation and see if he comes clean.
Right.
So then Morgan, who's standing by the gate of Hilltop, starts having one of his Morgan panic attacks, and he's just like moving all crazy. And then right as he does that, the gate opens and the saviors, who are newly converted to the Hilltop, come walking through the door, through the gate. Morgan starts off like heading towards them with the pointy end of the stick pointing towards them, like he's about to fuck them up. And they were like, whoa, hands up, like, hey, we don't want no problems. And somebody gets between them and Morgan, and Morgan pushes the person down in a haze, looks up, and it's actually Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan then lost his mind to the point where he pushing down little white boys and shit. And
that's never acceptable in there. I don't care if it's Epoch, non-Epoch.
Right. Can't be hitting these white kids.
Mm-mm.
And then Carol takes the stick from him and was like, hey, fuck you doing, Morgan? You all right? And he's like, they're doing something. And she was like, nah, they're not doing anything. And Maggie's like, yeah, I told them they could go outside and clear the fence of the zombies so we could leave. And Morgan had, you know, Carol's holding the stick, and Morgan's just confused as fuck. Like, he's definitely in that friend or foe haze.
Right.
Like when he was attacking Rick and shit in that town.
Right. You don't never know who you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Like, he all the way fucked up again. And so, Rick is like, Morgan, maybe you need to stay here. And Morgan's like, nah, we got to finish this. And Rick's like, yeah, we can finish this without you, because you kind of, you don't look like you in good shape.
Right. We don't know who you going to fuck up.
Right. And Morgan basically brings up, you know, the fact that Rick really doesn't have much room to talk, because he's like, we both are worse than we were. You know, he's like, we both really are fucked up now because we've lost everything. We have nothing left to lose. And what you did last week, Rick, lying to them dudes and then killing them, like, that's not right for you to do, you know? Like, he kind of, which made it sound like, I mean, it's some shit I would do, but you, like, you don't come from this, Rick.
Right. I've been done jumped off the bridge. You ain't supposed to jump off.
Right.
And what's funny is, like, they had two different extremes, because remember when Morgan walked up and Rick had shot that dude, like, right in front of him?
Mm-hmm.
And Morgan looked at him like, damn.
Yeah, it's funny because this season a lot of people switch places.
Yes, they did.
Morgan kind of switched places with Carol. They used to be opposites, now they're back to opposites, but the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Rick and Morgan kind of switched places.
Yes, they did.
You know, it wasn't too long ago that Morgan was looking at Rick like he was a savage and had a killing problem, and now look at Rick and Morgan, he can't stop himself. So yeah, he tells Rick, like, we worse than we are. He said, that was something wrong for you, and we crossed into it because we lost everything good. So what does it matter if we spend whatever's left on keeping people alive? And then Rick is like, because we haven't lost everything, not yet. And I think that's a good point, but it illustrates Morgan's mentality. He lost his son, he lost his wife, he lost the cheesemaker. Like, his whole thing is like, man, fuck it. You know, as far as I'm concerned, none of this is worth living for. And I don't want to get attached to people, because I always lose people. And when I lose people, I go crazy. You know?
Right. Similar to Carol.
Right. Probably worse than Carol, because he actually goes crazy and starts killing more people.
Right. Her thing is that she didn't want to kill.
Right. So then, Rick does end up letting him go, because Morgan says, we need to finish this, and essentially he's a killer machine, so you can't put Kobe on the bench just because he shoot too much.
Right.
They head out together in the back with everybody walking. Rick and Michonne to hold their hands. I really love that shot.
Mm-hmm.
Not just of Michonne's booty, don't get me wrong, but the fact that, you know, that's our crew, and you know, Michonne and Rick being of the same accord meant a lot to me. Since there's been so much drama and miscommunication
and discord,
yeah, you know, not arguing type stuff, but you know, life is fucked up and it's hard to connect emotionally. And I think she's always, in a way, it kind of symbolized him joining what she already had been on since they first ran into Negan.
Right.
Like, she the only one, she never was, had no back down in her. She was like, we obviously are gonna fight this dude, come on Rick, let's do it. And Rick was the one she had to bring along. But I love this moment. So then at the Savior's compound, Negan harasses Dwight, who's now a new slave. You know, he wearing
a jumpsuit on.
Right, wearing that jumpsuit. And he makes, you know, he taunts him about how, oh, must feel real stupid to be not the man anymore. Used to be, you know, you used to be the prime queen. Now they call you the prime fiend, you know. And then he ordered to have Dwight loaded up onto the truck. And then he asked Eugene if he made all the bullets. And Eugene was like, yep. And then he gives Negan a gun, says, you know, go ahead and test fire some shots. And they have set up a straw man in the shooting target.
A real straw man, y'all. Not an argument straw man, a real right. one.
And Negan fires three shots at the straw man. And he's like, well, all right, we got some working bullets. Thank you, Eugene. And Eugene, like, and also I suggest that we use my plan, you know, when we ambush them, to get them all in one spot and we take them out in one fell swoop. We just line up in a firing squad and we shoot these motherfuckers at the same time. And he said it'll be done in less than 10 minutes. And so, you know, Negan also sees a group of Saviors come walking by, led by two motherfuckers we never heard, called Lance and Duke. And they might as well have been wearing the red shirts on Star Trek.
Yeah, oh, y'all gonna be the first ones to go. Whatever happened, and y'all about to die the next few scenes.
Yeah, one of them had blue hair dye. I was like, when you find the time?
Right? But between all these zombies, you find time to dye your hair?
Have we even seen you before?
And what did you dye with? Blueberries? I know you ain't got no real dye.
Mm-hmm. What do you, like, you could have gave that blue dye to one of Negan's wives.
Come on. But waste and dye.
Mm-hmm. But Negan gives him a map and tells him where to go, and they were like, we won't let you down, Negan. They walk off. He's like, idiots. And then he tells Gabe he wants him to come with them as well, and he said, because I got some shit I want to confess. They get in the car, and it's I want to say her name is Laura or Paula, or
I
think it's Paula.
I think it's Paula. I don't remember that woman's name.
Yeah, I think Paula's driving. Negan's in the passenger.
Neck tattoo woman.
Yeah, Negan's in the passenger. Dwight's in the back seat, and Gabe's in the back seat. And so Negan starts confessing, but his confessing is really just him breaking down his new plan.
Right.
So what the plan was, Dwight sends out the 10 locations or whatever that Rick and them are, you know, that the fake locations. Then he knew that Rick and them would head to one of the locations, and that's why he sent that group of dummies out there to the location to die. He said, I hate sacrificing my men, but those men came up with Simon anyway, so it's not too big of a loss. And then he also said he put fake maps on them so that Rick will find these fake maps. The fake maps have a different location that says this is where Negan will be, and he knows that Rick and them are going to be suspicious of the plan that Gregory gave them anyway.
Right.
So then they'll think to themselves, oh, now we have the real plan. We're going to go ambush Negan at a different spot. So that's exactly what happens. What's funny is they probably could have stumbled upon the fact that it was fake and these dudes were sitting out here to blah, blah, blah. But Morgan killed the last remaining surviving dude. Cause the dude was like, please help, y'all, I don't want to. And Morgan like hit him with the stick and cut his throat.
Yeah, he gave him a bit. Yeah, that could have got some information out of him.
Yeah, and then Morgan had one of them fever dream things, and the dude Jared, the dick savior, he was there, and his you know, all eaten up and zombified or whatever. He turned around and was like, "Hey, Morgan, that was messed up. You'd have to, you know." It reminded me of Beetlejuice for some reason.
Cause he popped up out of nowhere.
Yeah, he played it kind of for laughs a little bit, but
he did.
While Morgan was having these visions, Jesus came up to him and was like, "You okay, Morgan?
You okay, my child?
Right, my son. Lay your burdens to rest upon me." And then Morgan was like, "Yeah, I'm good." And then that's when Morgan found the map. And the map, of course, had what they thought they were gonna find. So they're like, "Oh, here's the real plan. Let's go kill Negan."
Right.
Zeke found the map. I'm sorry, I got my black people confused.
yeah, he did find the map.
Yeah, my bad, y'all. And Paula, meanwhile, in the car driving Negan and them, she kind of swerves out the way of a zombie that's in the middle of the road. She has to slow down a little bit and go off road. Gabe jumps out of the fucking car.
His non-seeing ass. I was like, you know you can't see, right?
Like, he really was hoping the Lord was gonna guide him back to his friends, because how was he supposed to survive
with cataracts? What's happening here?
He couldn't see 5 feet in front of him, let alone all the way back to hilltop. And of course, so he starts running through the woods, stumbling and shit,
running in the trees, running in the bushes.
Right, he was hitting tree everything. And a zombie almost ate his ass, but Paula got out the car and stopped it and like killed the zombie. And then Eugene pulled out a gun on Gabe and was like, "Stop running, or I'll use one of these newly founded ammunitions, da 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 da." You know how he talked,
right?
And Gabe was like, "Please," all this shit. And then Eugene was like, "Look at you, where does your faith go when you truly need it? Seems to me it's the only time where it's worth holding on to." And I, part of me at that moment went, I don't like the way you're talking, Gene. I don't like this at all. Just be a dickhead atheist and keep letting me want to kill you.
he was still being a dick to me.
Right. So then Negan comes and, he punches, hits Gabe in the stomach with the bat. Gabe falls to his knees and he's like, "I'm sorry, Eugene, but I gotta call dibs on old Gaby boy here." And he acts like he's gonna hit him with the bat, or he thinks about it, but then he goes, "Load him in the car." And I'm like, yo, this nigga need to stay acting like he knows something.
Oh, they said her name is Laura, not Paula.
There we go. I knew them white women.
Thank you, baby.
White women, I get them all confused. I'm so sorry out there to all the Lauras and Paulas.
I know, right? Didn't mean to confuse you.
Yeah, I've been calling that woman Paula for like 6 weeks. So Laura and they all get back in the car, and they don't kill Gabe, even though I thought they would. For a second I thought maybe, but I think I said this last week, I don't know if we'll ever see a person get killed by that bat again. I just feel like that was a one time thing. We'll never see it happen again, which is sad. And I would have been fine with Gabe getting killed with the bat, by the way. Anyway, they get back in the car instead. And then Jesus tells Morgan as they're walking towards, you know, the place where they're going to ambush Negan. And that's what they think, right? Jesus tells Morgan, like, "Hey, man, this about to blow your mind, okay? Have you ever thought about using the pointy end of your spear for zombies and the blunt end to knock out humans? That way you don't have to choose between killing and letting people live all the time. You can have a code and you won't be killing everybody." Yeah, and shit.
You can have the best of both worlds, the balance.
Mm-hmm. And Morgan was really like, "I never thought of that." Carol was like, "I like him." And I was like, "Really? Carol like him? Carol, I thought you was killing all Carol.
Kill them all."
Right. But yeah, that's what he told Morgan. At the top of this hill, they looked down and they seen a big ass herd of zombies. And it was like, "You ever seen one that big?" And Rick was like, "Nope. things are changing.
I mean, y'all, when I'm talking about it, it was a motherfucking sea out in the woods. At first, it was so many of them, I thought it was grass. I was like, wait a minute, the grass moving. Oh, them.
I couldn't tell the difference between the zombies and the trees, honestly.
Because they mixed it. It all looked mixed together at first, initially, once it panned out.
So, at any rate, at the hilltop, a group of saviors arrived to the hilltop, and the hilltop people start using underground passages to escape the hilltop so they can get into the woods. So it didn't even like they were planning on fighting the saviors, because, you know, the fighting forces was already left. And then they get to a clearing for Rick's group, and his crew was interrupted by whistling over an intercom system. You know that whistling that they do, the saviors. And Negan's like, well, Rick, look at that, pegged again, pegged so very hard. And they cut the commercial, and they come back. Rick and them are, you know, hearing Negan from every direction. I don't know when they had the time to rig up the intercom system for this shit.
What? The megaphones, they had them scattered everywhere.
Like, I don't know if Eugene did this or what, but basically, they, since they had the intercom system, you couldn't really tell which way the Negan and them were at. And so Rick was like, come on, show yourself. And Negan was like, Rick, make this fun for both of us. Just pick a direction and start running. And then we gonna kill you. It don't matter which way you pick, we gonna kill you. And he also told Rick at this time that they had Dwight and Eugene, and that Dwight didn't sell them out. He basically played Dwight because he's a piece of shit traitor, scumbag, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Which I'm like, man, you still burned that dude's face and stole his wife. At some point, it should be even.
No!
Like, it can't just be he's a piece of shit. Come on. So then, he also says, I got Gabe and I'm gonna kill his ass too. He's like, we are cleaning house today. That shit made me laugh.
Like spring cleaning.
Right. So then everybody gets, you know, all the saviors show themselves at the top of this hill, and Negan starts counting down the 3, 2, you know, to shoot them and stuff. Just total TV movie stuff. And then, just TV stuff. And so then he's like, 3, 2, 1, and it fired. And as everyone goes to shoot, all of them end up with horrific injuries because every bullet backfires, including Negan's. Now the Negan one was interesting because I'm like, is that a different gun? That must be a different gun than the one Eugene had. Okay, so he must have gave that gun that he test fired back to Eugene.
He did.
Okay, I think I missed that. So yeah. Because the gun that Negan was using had one of them faulty bullets in it, and it backfired on him and fucked up his hand. People was getting their face fucked up. It was bad. So then, Rick's group, of course, takes advantage of the chaos and starts going up there killing people and shit. Gabe stole off on Negan. I don't know how he saw him to punch him in the face, but he did. But then Negan knocked him down with a bat. And then Dwight tried to kill Negan, and then Negan pushed his ass down because he was still chained up.
Right.
Negan runs off. At the hilltop people escape into the woods, but that little baby was crying.
Real loud.
And they left Gregory in the house.
Fuck that nigga.
Right. That was like, Tara was like, yeah, fuck Gregory, basically. And the handsome savior dude, you know, was the one that was even,
He a dedicated trooper.
Yeah, he was the one who came back. It was like, cause the Asian dude asked about Gregory, but, yeah, so that dude came back, was like, Tara, what are you doing? You gotta come with us. She was like, no, I'm gonna slow him down. We got that baby with us, and you can hear from, you know, miles away. So we gotta create some distance. And he's like, that's basically a suicide mission. But I'm gonna come with you. And she was like, no, I don't trust y'all. Y'all can't come. And he was like, well, it doesn't matter. I'm still coming with you. And hey, boys, like other saviors, y'all want to come with her too? And they was like, yeah. And so she just conveniently happened to be carrying a big ass bag of guns. So she dropped the big ass bag of guns. Was like, fine, come with me.
Oh, she thought she was, Carol?
Right. What was she gonna do with a big ass bag of guns anyway, other than get killed holding a big ass bag of guns?
And get it stolen from her.
So they do take the guns and they go to have her back or whatever. meanwhile, Eugene almost gets killed back at the battle. because the saviors realize he betrayed them. But Rosita shoots down like two of the three people, and he actually shoots one person too in the leg or something. And he looks over and sees Rosita just shot, saved those people, saved them, and didn't even shoot them. So I'm like, oh, they must figure out that it was him that helped them ambush the saviors, because I feel like the way they left last time after puking on him and shit, even if you did know he helped, I could still understand putting a bullet in his head.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I can still understand them, but like, I don't give a fuck. Take two to the head.
Right. So, Jesus is tying up a savior at the battlefield, which obviously he has to turn his back on the enemy to do this. Morgan, he's like, Morgan can't help me. And Morgan gets his back, knocks his dude down, gets ready to stab him with the spear into the pole. Then he thinks about it. And Jesus is like, Morgan, you don't have to do this. And then Morgan knocked the motherfucker out with the back of the pole. I'm like, oh, Morgan, you should have did it. But yeah, I guess, you know, that was like a big scene of Morgan doesn't have to feel like he has to kill every time.
Right.
So then back in Hilltop, the saviors are approaching the woods where everybody went to hide, and Tara and the new converts to the Hilltop,
yeah,
they're like, all right, hold your fire, wait till they get to the line of sight, then we're gonna shoot. Before they can shoot, it starts raining fucking Molotov cocktails all over the fucking saviors.
You know what, I thought it was bombs. I mean not bombs, but mines.
I did too at first.
Right. I kept saying, why is it blowing up? I was like, I didn't know no bombs was out there.
See, I think that's also because of how special effects work. Like, they probably planted explosions and said, just walk over here and we'll blow these up close to you or whatever.
Because
they couldn't really throw Molotov cocktails and explode at people in a stunt. Anyway, they was blowing up all over the motherfuckers. And you look to the side and it's Oceanside has come back with Aaron, and they all got fucking Molotov cocktails.
Yeah, they was like, we ain't got bullets, but we got these.
Right. And I'm like, did y'all even really need guns? What was the whole point?
They was like, we had plenty of gas.
Right. So they just bombed the shit out of the saviors, and that's how they save Hilltop. We don't really see the saviors again after that. Then in the at the battlefield, the saviors that are left that Negan has abandoned, they give up. And
we found out her name was Laura, started talking. I was like, this bitch.
Right. And they basically save everybody's life. Like, they don't kill any prisoners of war or any that type of shit. They just basically like, we give up, we know we beat. And Rick's group is like, that's fine, as long as y'all know. So then after that, Rick follows Negan out to a very familiar looking tree, like the tree from the opening scene of season eight, where he's standing underneath it saying, my mercy prevails over my wrath. Mm-hmm. Right. And he's crying and shit, and they got that super tight like shot of his eyes and shit. So
see the water glistening off of his eyelashes.
Right. So Negan and Rick have a fight, and matter of fact, let me see if I can show y'all this, because I think I got the clip. I always forget I got these clips, I can just show y'all the shit. But yeah, Negan and Rick end up having a fight, and like it gets pretty brutal as far as like what happens. Like, I think Rick sees him at the tree, Negan tackles him, then they start scuffling. Negan hits him, Negan's back gets on Rick's like stomach area, and he used the barbed wire to like yank it, and it cuts Rick open, and then Rick is basically like laying there about to die and shit, because he's so exhausted from fighting. It's showing on screen?
Yes.
Okay. They kicked him right in that damn open cut.
Just so you know, I didn't even mean you anymore. That was bullshit. I made a choice. I just didn't want to kill a kid's dad in front of him. Turns out, that would have been the best thing I could have done. Had I done it, the kid might still be alive.
Rick Tritzel.
You're beat. Your people are down.
I'll get out of it. I always do. It's just you and me, Rick.
And you are torn open. I am bigger. I am better. And I got a bad. I can have a future. I know I will.
Just give me 10 seconds so I can tell you how.
No.
Just give me 10 seconds for Carl.
See, Negan loved him from Carl too.
He did.
10, 9.
Carl said it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a fight anymore.
He was wrong. 8.
No. He was right.
Nigga, like he was about to cry. And he had the power to swing that bat. And Rick cut his motherfucking throat. Listen, grimy ass Rick Grimes did that. Now I was a little bit shocked, to be honest. I did not see that swerve coming. I really thought they were gonna talk it out somehow and Negan was gonna surrender, and that was gonna be the big pivotal moment of, well, he just surrendered, are y'all gonna kill him because he surrendered? And then when Rick goes, no, because Carl taught me and I read his fucking letter, everybody's gonna be mad, like, what the fuck, Rick? We've been trying to kill this nigga. Your dead son wrote a letter and now I'm supposed to just be cool with that? That's how I thought it was gonna play out. Instead, he sliced that motherfucker's throat.
And the thing is, in the movie theater, y'all, that shit sound like a brick. And the lady beside, we both jumped, it was like, poof! You could almost just hear him hit him out the blue, and nobody seen that coming, and I think half the theater jumped.
Yeah, he cut him with pane glass from that window. Like those windows that was hanging by the tree.
Cause I was like, how the hell did he get a knife?
Right, that's what I was like, when did he pick up a knife? And I'm like, oh shit. So yeah, he cut that nigga with that motherfucking, pane glass. Now, here's the thing, stained glass, I mean. You knew that wasn't gonna go over well with everybody else. I mean, everybody's son ain't dying, everybody's son ain't write them letters, okay?
Right.
Much as people like Carl, that was Carl business. But some people this season have forever been changed. Like, the way that they've been, having rifts throughout the season, you had Daryl try to fight Rick to kill the saviors. I mean, Daryl went going ham for the most part. Tara went ham. Rosita went AWOL. Like, everybody, Maggie has become, like, very cold and calculating. So, and she lost her husband, the father of her child, you know, unborn child. So, to me, there's been a lot of reasons for people to want Negan dead. And Rick literally just wanted him dead 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
All right. So this is the scene where Negan is actually dying now because he's got his throat cut. And I love how he told Rick Carl was wrong because Rick basically lied. Oh, I also meant to, this also reminded me earlier of the show when Morgan was like, Rick, we've changed for the worse. Cause this reminded me exactly how Rick talked to them dudes and then killed every last one of the motherfuckers after Rick promised they could come back to the hilltop with them. And so I was like, oh, Rick really didn't learn shit from that letter. I was one of the people that was like, I don't want him to read the letter because I kind of like grimy Rick Grimes, but I knew narratively if he read that letter and he still was being savage as fuck, then what was the point, right? Like, that just feels terrible. Rick looking at the blood on his hands. Mm-hmm. Maggie all up in this business, like, what's going on over here?
And the thing that tripped me out was that
after he cut Negan's throat,
it panned out and
everybody was watching him,
and I didn't even know that the people were standing there.
It looked like Lee Trevino, y'all, like in Happy Gilmore.
I don't even think Rick realized they were there.
I don't know if they just showed the fuck up. It's like he turned around and everybody was back there like, this nigga killing people in cold blood.
Right.
Well, Negan dead, which is the old way of doing things, right? That's not par for the course. Negan's dead, bleeding out,
saving.
And that's when all hell broke loose.
Right.
Rick said, save him. So Sadiq, the medic, runs off to go do a triage on this nigga's throat. Cause,
Sadiq,
you know.
Sadiq and Gary.
Mm-hmm.
No! Maggie! No, he can't! No! No, he killed Glenn!
We have to
end it!
That's Maggie.
Rick! We have to make it right!
That's how I be when they be like, "Where, sir, pumpkin spice is a seasonal option."
You do be highly upset.
I be like, no! No, they killed Pumpkin Spice. No, we have to make it right. And they be like, sir, please.
You be highly upset at your people.
Get your Uggs off of our counter, sir.
No,
you can't. Maple syrup is not the same.
I know y'all got some in the back.
No.
What happened? What we did? What we lost? There's got to be something after. The ones who have them up, put your hands down. We're all gonna go home now. Negan's alive. But his way of doing things is over. And anyone who can't live with that will pay the price. I promise you that. And any person here who would live in peace and fairness, who would find common ground, this world is yours by right. We are life. That's death. And it's coming for us. Unless we stand together. So go home. And then the work begins. The new world begins. All this is just what was. There's got to be something after.
That's what Carl said. Amen. So, Michonne also was holding Maggie during this scene too, which, remember, that comes back up. You know, they're saving Negan's life now. Because I thought Negan was dead. As soon as he cut his throat, I was like, oh, well, that's different than the comic. But, you know, they basically, and Rick basically just says, look, man, we don't have to keep doing, fighting this shit. Y'all go back to the sanctuary. This one dude was really the problem. Like, in his mind. And a lot of the people that died along the way, because you got to remember, all his captains are dead. I mean, who else, you know, basically the leadership is dead and he's like, the way we do shit, you ain't just taking from nobody, but you can do trade. all this other shit, the threat is over. You know, his way was not the good way. And you know, Nemo, I'm sure niggas just sitting there trying not to bleed out. Rosita then asked Eugene if he rigged the guns, the bullets, and he said he did it. And he said he was inspired by Gabriel's ineptitude when Gabe fucked up that bullet when he was trying to, he didn't know it would backfire, but he knew it would be a dud or something. Mm-hmm. Or Gabriel didn't know. No, Eugene was like, these bullets will backfire and kill people. And Gabriel was like, well, I thought it would just be a dud or something. He was like, no, dummy. Well, apparently that inspired Eugene. That and the pep talk he got from Rosita before throwing up on her.
Right.
Now, I did not see that coming. And I ain't gonna lie, I was pissed. Because I wanted him to die so bad. I didn't want to see him even attempted to be redeemed. That being said, if in all sincerity and all honesty and full transparency, I do have to tell y'all, in the theater, when them guns backfired, my first thought was Eugene could come back to the cookout. That was really my first thought. Now, y'all know I will invite a nigga to the cookout for opening the door for me. So it's probably not fair to use my
Your judgment. Tickets are null and void.
Right, I understand. But for that, I wanted them just to not die a horrible death because they got outfoxed by Negan.
Right.
And I didn't see any other way out of it. So I was kind of happy that Eugene kind of came through for them just so they could live to have a chance to win. But at the same time, Eugene did so much foul shit. I just don't see how they wouldn't just kill. Like, if this is a actual war, they would put him up in a war tribunal or some shit and he'd get killed too as a war criminal and a traitor. Anyway, Rosita punches that nigga in the face, which I did enjoy.
He deserved that.
Yeah, I was like, cause fuck him. And she was like, that's for the throw up.
Come on, puke on me.
Right. So then,
you know how he talked that that was fear.
Right. He goes, fair play. So then Morgan takes off his armor and gives it to Carol, to give to Henry. And she asks if he's going to be okay. He said, I'm going to try. I know I need to be. And then we get that one scene that we've always seen from the beginning of the season with Rick. And the My Mercy Prevails Over My Wrath crying and shit. Back at the hilltop, the handsome savior asked Maggie could he stay, even though his boys was going back to the sanctuary to try to build something out of it. And she said, yeah, he could stay. He said he could build things. He been reading that Key to the Future book. He trying to be somebody. Now, did you feel like he liked Maggie?
No.
Okay. Because no. He looked at her when she walked off in a way that made me think he's either into pregnancy porn or he liked Maggie.
No, I don't think that's what it was. I think that, because just the arc of his character, the few times that I've seen it, he was like, he just wanted to be separate from the sanctuary. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, he just wanted to be separate from that. He was
from the saviors.
From the saviors, I said sanctuary. From the saviors. Mm-hmm. You know, he just didn't want any part of that.
All right. Well, yeah, it looked like he kind of liked her to me. There was just this little look on his face when she walked, when she said okay, and the way he told her, like, you know, this is what I want my life to be, and you gave me that life. Mm. I was like, I wonder if he's been liking her on the low.
And then she been treating him like shit.
Right. Maybe that's how he into it. So then at the sanctuary, our crew traded some glass windows to fix the ones they broke when they shot the place up. Basically just trying to show that the two groups are now like getting along and working, and Negan's wives are no longer wearing all black and shit like that.
At that concert at the funeral.
Right. And then in the woods, Daryl takes Dwight out by himself, to presumably kill this nigga in the woods. Which was hilarious because, you know, Dwight been through it. Okay, like, one of the things about Dwight that's different than Eugene never really went through it. You know, like, Eugene thought he was gonna get fucked up, and we thought he was too because of how we seen Dwight living. Yeah. And how we seen him treat Daryl. Yeah. And Eugene was on Easy Street.
Come on, that's about to say, he been on Easy Street.
Right, he was on Easy Street. Not even gonna play the song, y'all know it. But Daryl and Dwight basically been 12 years a slave out there.
Come on!
So, there was something about, you know, Daryl, who had experienced some of this trauma, and Dwight, who constantly lived in trauma, and every side he tried to help end up abusing him because they don't know, nobody trusts his ass. And you're like, yo, Daryl want to finish this thing.
I know why I'm here. I know what I did to Denise. To you. To other people. It doesn't matter why. I knew I'd have to face it. To pay. And I should. I'm ready. I got to see Nikki take it down, and that's enough. Me. I'm a piece of shit.
Agreed.
There's no going back to how things were. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Please. Please.
Shut up.
He threw him the truck keys.
Mm-hmm. You go. And you keep going. Don't you ever come back here again. If I ever see your face around here again, I'll kill you. I can make it right.
Fine.
He tells him to go find Sherry, basically. I was so pissed at this scene. Because I'm like, first of all, y'all didn't kill Eugene. Mm-mm. We not even killing Dwight. Y'all don't even really know this nigga.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that boils down to, not that, you know, you're not seeing human killing, but something you said, they're not doing human on human killing.
They're
doing people on zombie on people killing, but they're not doing as much people on people killing. Not as
well. I was more talking about the gore of it, not just. I mean, they still kill people. Yeah, I mean, they did a lot of people killing actually this season. All the garbage people got shot up, but they just didn't show it.
Correct.
Anyway, I was just let down. Because Daryl been, you know, on no fuck it Daryl all season.
All motherfucking season.
And we get to this moment and I'm like, yeah, he gonna kill him anyway. And I was gonna laugh. Because the show been giving me some good laughs lately. And I thought if he would have killed that nigga in the woods, I probably would have lost my mind laughing so hard. We would have got kicked out of that theater.
Nah! But it would have made sense because it would have followed the character arc.
Right.
Because he'd been on a one-man show. I mean, everybody else just kind of backed out.
And when we get to the end, I'll explain why it's even more frustrating. But he lets him live, and, you know, Dwight gets to leave and, you know, go find Sherry. Morgan goes to the garbage bin, and Jadis is still there. And he basically tells her that Rick said she can come back to the community. And she's like, but, you know, why? And he's like, Rick trying to start over. He say everybody invited, need as many people as he can get, and people are you need people, you know. And he said everything in life is about people, everything is worth a damn. She says, well, I'll get my things, we can go. And he said, nah, not no we, I'm staying.
You can go, I don't like people.
Right. So Dwight pulls up to that house that him and Sherry rendezvous at. And she's not there, but she did leave a note that had honeymoon on it. I honestly did not go back and watch that episode with the house, so I can't remember the significance of that. Like, I guess that means she been back there. yes. since that time he went and she hadn't showed up.
Right, because the significance of it that she wrote that first letter basically was saying that, you know, she was alive, mm-hmm. she came, and, you know, she decided, I think initially she decided not to stay there, but mm-hmm. then she decided to come back.
That's a honeymoon event?
Yeah, honeymoon event, yeah, she actually probably came back.
So.
And that was to let him know that she was actually going to come back again.
So he could just wait there for her to show up, because right. he started crying like he was happy.
Right.
So, I guess he's going to get his wife back, hopefully. In Gregory's office, Maggie tells Jesus that he was right about keeping the Saviors at Hilltop and that they didn't need to kill him, and, you know, taking him as prisoners of war was the right move. And she said she still didn't regret anything she did, but she understood that he was right. And then she's like, but this shit with Rick and Michonne, I ain't feeling it, dog.
She was not here for it.
She was not a fan of the of Rick and Michonne holding her down and letting Negan live.
Yeah, because she was like, fuck it, I'll kill him.
Right. Like she said, listen, remember when I cut my hair to this short haircut? It's not a mistake. This is a 53% haircut. Okay? Ask me how much percentage I got off of this haircut.
Right. I don't want to speak to the manager.
Mm-hmm. I would like to speak to Rick's manager. I have a complaint and a strongly worded letter that I have written.
Who's the HR person?
Someone gonna receive an email, okay? I would like to talk about your employee, Rick Grimes, and the decisions that he made.
Because I'm not here for it.
I'm not a fan of this shit. Jesus is in there and he's listening to her like she making sense. And I was a little disturbed by that. Matter of fact, I'm gonna play the clip so y'all can hear her voice.
I just wanted to say you were right about saving the Saviors from the satellite outpost. Having them here. I don't regret what I did, but you were right. And Rick was right about not killing all the Saviors.
He was right.
He was. Not about Negan.
So what does that mean, Maggie?
We have a lot to do. We have to build this place up. Make it work better than before. Make it thrive for the people who live here. We need our strength. The ability to defend ourselves better. We have to have that.
We will.
But Rick and Michonne, Rick was wrong to do what he did. Michonne too. So we're gonna bide our time, wait for our moment, and then we're gonna show him.
Yeah. Will.
And that's Daryl. Okay, I hate this scene for multiple reasons. I understand why Maggie would have an issue. That makes sense to me. I'm not even really knocking that. Her motivation, the writing, it totally makes sense. Daryl just let Dwight go. Are we forgiven or are we not? I don't understand. Like, how you let Dwight go, but you are dead set convinced that Rick don't know what the fuck he talking about with Negan. Okay. Jesus is Jesus. Your whole thing is we don't kill. You try to fucking take prisoners of war and shit. You just convinced Morgan not to kill. Why are you in a room plotting with these evil motherfuckers? You know, unless you're going to turn around and go snitch to Rick, which is the only acceptable thing I would take from Jesus at this point. Is him going to Rick being like, hey, they gonna try to kill Negan at some point. If other than that, what the fuck is the point of this? I mean, am I tripping, Karen?
Mm-mm.
Okay, because I really was trying to understand how they got to this point. And I'm just like, but this mean, like, So what about the scene just before this, Daryl, when you was letting the fucking dude that you just spent all season, two seasons with a hard on trying to kill,
right?
Now you let him go and told him to go find his woman and live happily ever after and shit, but somehow you mad because Rick ain't want to kill Negan? I don't know. I ain't buy it. I wasn't with the shit.
Right, or maybe because, you know, him and Rick fell out and his plan, quote unquote, didn't get Negan killed.
I don't know.
Right, and then even that's not a strong enough argument.
Right, it just seemed weak. Because they also made up after that, and Rick told him he understood why he did it.
Right.
So then lastly, we get Negan's hospital bed. He's recovering from getting cut in the throat. And Michonne and Rick come to visit him.
We know you're awake.
I never said I was.
Good. Because we need to tell you some things. And you don't have to open your eyes now.
She basically hit that MC8 on his ass. Wake your punk ass up.
We see you there.
Try to pretend to be asleep so you won't get this whooping.
But you're gonna open them soon. Because we're gonna make you watch what happens.
And this isn't about who you killed. No, we killed people. No, this is about what you did to us. What you did to so many people. How you made people live for you. How you put people under your boot.
I save people.
Michonne.
He needs to know.
Michonne put her hand on this nigga's throat wound to shut him up while he was talking. Sadiq's like, Michonne, he gonna die. And she just said it like training a dog. So he needs to know. Like, I really felt like she was a Okoye for 1 second. Like, if she would, they would cut back, she had a spear and a bald head, I'd be like,
she had a red outfit on.
He needs to know.
I'm a Wakanda spy. This is what we do.
This isn't a discussion.
We can open up his stitches for a little while just to remind him. Carl pictured something better. All of us working together for something bigger than all of us. And you'll have a job too.
Yeah. You get to be a part of it. You'll be an example of what this will be.
We're not gonna kill you. We're not gonna hurt you. You're gonna rot in a cell.
For the rest of your life. Day after day.
You're gonna be evidence that we're making a civilization. Something like what we had. Something we're gonna get back.
And you get to watch it happen. And you get to see how wrong you were. About what people can be. About what life can be.
You, alive, is gonna help show people that things have changed. That keeping you breathing earns another way, a better way. That's the part you'll play.
So after all this, maybe you're good for something.
I love how they was finishing each other's sentences. They had bars. They was basically like kid and play or crisscross or some shit. Like, how many times did they rehearse that before they woke him up? Alright, so then I'm gonna say, you gonna have to live with this, and then I'm gonna say so that people will see that you are this, and then I'm gonna be like, hold up, no, go back, say what you gonna say. Like, it was too good. Yeah, so then they
basically had a dance routine. It was like, no, we can't dance,
right?
We can't
then dance. We're gonna touch toes, then heel kick, spin,
but like, that's too much.
In the burned up church, Gabriel thanks God, and it looked like he got his vision back. Unless I'm interpreting that wrong. I think he could see again. And then lastly, Rick wrote a letter back to Carl. Basically saying, like, I remember that day. And, you know, the thing is, I was taking you to somewhere. And that's what I'm going to do with these people. I'm taking them to the new world. And everyone's coming.
He did have a cane, but I clear that. The vision was kind of clear.
Who, Gabe?
Yeah, when he first entered there, he had a cane.
He looked like he had, it looked like he could see again. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe I misinterpreted the scene, and but.
Maybe he's just seen more light than normal.
He, cause like, they show, you know, every time they show him, like, look at something, they've been showing that blurry vision.
Right.
But this time when he looked up, he could see clearly, like, the cross and everything. And he was like, I'm so thankful. Thank you. Thank you. You have shown
me. So, my understanding is that they went back to Alexandria again.
Yes, and I think that's where Negan's gonna end up. Remember that cell that Morgan built two seasons ago?
Mm-hmm.
I think Negan's ending up in that cell.
Me too.
I think that's gonna be where he's at. So yeah, that was the season finale. We'll get to y'all's feedback in a second as well. Overall, like I said, every narrative thread pretty much made sense. I don't buy that they tried to fucking. I personally don't like the redemption of Eugene or Dwight.
Dwight's one thing. Eugene should be dead.
And I think they're clearly setting up season 9 for some type of like civil war, because they always say the peace is harder to maintain in the war, right?
Right.
They're clearly setting it up for some type of civil war between like Hilltop and Alexandria or whatever, based off this Negan shit. To be honest with y'all, I really hope a threat comes before they can pop off into whatever that is, because I don't want to see them fighting over some bullshit.
I think it will.
So I'm not really looking into like, and it just wouldn't, and honestly, I wouldn't buy like all of a sudden Maggie is now ready to kill Rick and shit. I wouldn't buy it. There was one more thing I wanted to add. More about that. Oh, I would actually kind of be interested in this show taking a path of what does peace look like? What's up with Sally Jesse, Hillary Clinton? What's up with her group?
Because they did go see them.
Yeah, what's up with that helicopter?
Yeah, it was Tara.
Well, they haven't gone to see them yet.
Oh, okay.
No. That was that sanctuary where they gave them that glass, and they came up with a bus, and the bus had glass on it. That was at sanctuary with Negan's old wives. So,
okay. I don't know why I thought they visited that group.
Because you weren't paying attention.
And I was paying attention.
And I watched the show twice.
Okay.
Guys, would y'all like the people in the chat? did they ever go visit Sally Jesse Hillary Clinton?
Maybe I didn't pay attention because I thought she had crates and shit. So I thought she was dropping stuff off for them.
They had crates of eggs for the sanctuary to give to them and shit, but nah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I watched it twice. That's not what happened. So I mean, you know, if they did that, they would have made a much bigger deal. They would have had Sally Jesse Hillary Clinton come out and meet them.
Okay. Right. They'd have made a big old deal. Okay, because I was like, well, why are they here? We don't see her. Okay.
I want to know where that helicopter coming from.
It's coming from somewhere.
The helicopter coming from somewhere. Is it coming from Sally Jesse Hillary Clinton group or no?
Right.
I don't know. Oh my god, three things threw me off. Eugene, redemption, I don't fuck with it. Dwight's getting let go, get out of jail free, I don't really fuck with that either. But more specifically, this Civil War shit storyline with Jesus and Daryl being co-conspirators, I really don't buy that.
Like, I don't buy that at all.
They could totally fix that next season with Jesus turning out to be like, you know, actually I just did this so I could warn everybody else. I would buy that because that seemed more in his character than him suddenly being down with conspiracy to murder Negan. I don't know what the fuck Daryl's doing. I just don't know what the fuck he's doing. It just makes no fucking sense, you know. So let's get into y'all's feedback. Which am I in the right thing? Let me see. Oh, I was in the wrong folder. All right, so we got some comments. EVE says, hi Rod and Karen. Well, this show did something I feared they would. They tried to make Eugene a hero. After all the shucking and jiving he did this season, he's all of a sudden making defective bullets. Yeah, right. You mean to tell me that Rosita said to him, what she said to him finally got through him? Yeah, I guess if we went back and rewatched that episode, we now would read it the other way, which is, well, he's like, I'm finally going to do something good with my pathetic lives.
Right.
He really meant, I'm going to teach y'all to make bullets the wrong way. So basically up until then he was okay with blasting away Rick's crew. Man, fuck this simp. It's fuck him forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm annoyed that Negan wasn't killed. I personally think it's pointless to keep him around. To me, it felt like Rick is only keeping him alive to rub his victory in his face rather than to honor Carl's wishes. I think he could honor Carl's wishes by not killing the other saviors who surrendered. So I agree that it does seem petty right now. But I also think that in his mind, this is also what Carl would have wanted.
Right.
So I don't feel like it's, I feel like both things can be true. It is petty, and it is also in his mind what he feels to be the harder choice than the one that he really wanted to make. Like, he wanted to kill Negan. And I think it was very telling that Rick's motivation has been this idea of protecting Carl, these memories of walking with Carl, as if Negan killed Carl. Negan had nothing to do with how Carl died. Carl died living his own code, being a man that he wanted to be. So Rick has taken that anger in many ways and misplaced it with Negan, and as far as like blaming Carl's death at Negan's feet. I still think there were plenty of reasons for Negan to die.
Mm-hmm.
But if Carl's message of hope, forgiveness, and peace is truly to be believed, then I really felt like the only way it could culminate is if Rick let Negan live. Because if he kills him, it kind of is like some bullshit, you know? So, I don't know. But I feel you, though. I feel exactly how you feel as well, which was like that speech they had with him in the bed, they still mad at him. And I mean, that makes sense that humans, they're not just gonna immediately not be mad,
right?
But they are still mad at him. So while I agree with Maggie and Negan that Maggie and Negan that Negan needed to go, she needed to sit her 72 week pregnant ass down. Now see, this is one of the things I do find interesting. If your team Negan had to go, shouldn't you be team Maggie?
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to me like team Negan had to go gotta be Daryl, Jesus, and Maggie people. I mean, they the only ones on the show that seem to be like dead set on that shit.
Yeah.
How you gonna just try plot an uprising because Rick wouldn't let her kill Negan? Oh, you know how. And then to plan it with Jesus and Daryl of all people. I've been ready for Daryl to get these past couple seasons, to go these past couple seasons. They have available showers and his ass is running around the camp looking like he had swamp ass. And Jesus can get the fuck on too. All season he was talking about not killing people, but now he plotting with Maggie because Rick didn't kill Negan. Fuck that motherfucker with a sharp pointy stick. Yeah, I agree.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Maggie was in there like, hey, you seen that video from Hot 97 with them rappers and the dude was talking about, if I kill people you gonna have to kill them too. And this homeboy was looking like, nigga, we ain't talking about this,
come on.
That's how Maggie sound when she was in there talking to Jesus, who ain't gonna catch nobodies, and Daryl, who just let Dwight go. I was like, Maggie, you talking about yourself?
Cause if I jump somebody, my man gonna jump with me. You feel me? If I rob him, my man gonna rob him. Like, if I wanna smack the shit out of him, my man gonna smack the shit out of him. And if I shoot, my man gonna shoot. And if I gotta die, my man dying with me. Like, that's just how it is. Like, my people's ride for me, no matter what. And I know that for a fact.
It's respectable, man.
Ain't no goofy niggas around me. They're gonna die if I gotta die.
I wish somebody would die for me, man. Like,
no, facts, facts.
Like, it's
Yeah, I think Jesus over there in the corner like, We
ain't tough, man. I ain't dying over no dumb shit.
Right. I didn't say this. I didn't sign any agreements to this.
Right. Where's my signature in blood? Where did I sign my soul over saying I would do this?
I'm glad that Oceanside came through, but was it really worth that 10-second scene of them throwing Molotovs for all the wasted episodes? Absolutely not.
No.
I wonder what Aaron said to convince them to join the crew. I know Aaron is gay, but maybe he gave them the D. I doubt that.
It's that speech he gave in the rain
also
motivated them.
He wasn't in D throwing shape when we last saw him. It's been a long time for some of those women, so he could have worked his magic. After all, Dick would make you slap somebody. Well, that is true.
Yeah, he ain't want nothing. He ain't want nothing they had.
Or throw a few Molotov cocktails. The way it ended, I wonder where they're gonna take the storyline now. One thing's for certain, I'm glad that the Savior storyline is finished and that Dwight is gone. Good riddance. Thanks for another season of great recast, EVE. Is Dwight really gone though?
Right,
he ain't dead, so he might show back up.
I think he will,
but I'll wait till we finish these emails and I'll drop some more thoughts on this whole thing. Miss Smart says, Karen, Rod, about Margaret, because she ain't Maggie anymore. You can put a minority penis in her, but you can't take the 53% out of her.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Maggie is reserved for the other 47%. That's it, Miss Smart. I agree.
Short and sweet and straight to the point, apparently.
She went full 53. Full 53. I was like, but Maggie, what would Herschel say? Turk says, hi guys, Survivor Sunday was lit. I went to a white theater in the Milwaukee suburbs. I was happy to see a few other brown people in the audience. I was also shocked that the theater was mostly sold out, even though the ratings had dropped so much. I guess people are still watching, even though they swear they aren't. Our theater was full as fuck.
I think our theater was sold out.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened.
And the thing is, I think a lot of people think just because they don't watch a show that nobody watches these shows.
Mm-hmm.
You still got what, 6-something million people? That's a lot of fucking people to still watching this show. So when they said they was gonna do this, and odds are, if you're a hardcore fan that was gonna spend money to watch the season finale of The Walking Dead, odds are you watch Fear also.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, man, watching in that environment is so much more fun than even live tweeting it.
Yes, it is.
Because, I mean, it's different when you live tweeting something that, you know, for the most, like Black Lightning, everybody loves Black Lightning, retweeting jokes, all this. With something controversial like The Walking Dead, when there's just as many people that want to shit on it as like it,
right?
But people that shit on it still gonna watch it and shit on it, you know, it's a little harder to watch because you're trying not to look at your mentions too much or look at your timeline with people, half the people being like, fuck this show, and half the people being like, I love it.
Right.
In a theater, everybody's quiet. They're either they're into it whether they like it or not, but I doubt anyone who hated it spent money to go see it.
That's my thing. If you don't like it, you're not going to spend that type of money. So in my opinion, it makes the viewing experience so much better. And the bonus was it was commercial free, so the time flew by very quickly.
That ending had me shook. I always knew Maggie was part of 53%. Oh, you know what else that explains too? The no commercial breaks. That's why all them Chris Hardwick talking dead afterwards. That's why them audiences be so keyed up.
Right, because they probably watch the shit commercial free.
Yeah, they watch 45 minutes and then boom, it's time to talk about it.
Right, they don't have 20 minutes of commercials.
Yeah, it's totally different than the experience you have at home when you don't watch all the commercials and it's an hour. It's 10:15 at night and all this shit.
Right, or you get an hour and a half, which means they probably get a good 50 minutes.
Right, it's just interesting. Anyway, she tried to trick us by marrying outside her race and having a black best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But I see through her trickery. Now she bringing Jesus into her bullshit. Yeah, you know what bothered me the most, y'all? How quick she turned on Michonne. I'm like, dog, Michonne just trying to keep you from getting fucked up by Rick or something. And you really was like, and fuck Michonne too. I was like, wow.
Right.
This is what we doing, Margaret. Maybe Gregory was right. Now that's a dude, I don't know how he made it. He still alive too?
We hadn't seen him. He might be dead. We ain't seen that man. Or he might have snuck out. Who knows?
I think he's alive. I think they know. I think they let him live. I don't know. I think that's, he's too,
back in the pen.
He's too important of a character for them to kill off screen. If they killed him, we would have saw it. So he alive.
I don't think they killed him.
And I don't think he got away, because if he got away, they would have said, hey, Gregory got away.
That's true.
You gotta have that scene. You cannot have that. You can't have him disappear or die and then be like, I guess just next season we won't talk about it. No, nigga, what happened?
Put him back in the pen.
Anyway, now she bringing Jesus to her bullshit. Now see, that's the thing, Jesus will always be there for you, but Jesus ain't going to give you no advice. I don't know if y'all peep game in that scene. My man Jesus didn't agree to nothing.
No, he didn't.
The only thing he agreed to was like, we need to be able to better defend ourselves and build this place up. He was like, yep, we should. Then she like, then we gonna show him. He was like, no, when you look over at the beach and you see that one set of footprints, that's me carrying your ass, okay? After Rick fuck you up. So yeah, did I miss something? She said, yeah, seriously, him plotting with Daryl and Maggie confused me. Did I miss something? Jesus was still tying people up during the last battle and telling Morgan not to kill. I don't know why he would side with Maggie over Rick and Negan. I know. Over Rick about Negan. Yes, I agree. I'm happy that they are already setting up the next stories. The character I'm most interested in for next season is Jadis. I wish we could have heard Carl's letter to her. You think he used pronouns in her letter? Ha, right. Also, do you guys think she will live in Alexandria? Honestly, I do, but I really feel like she need to take her ass to Hilltop. I mean, not Hilltop, to Kingdom. She love cosplay. Two, I don't think she need to be around Rick and Michonne after the way she came on Rick a couple times in front of Michonne. Michonne ain't gonna be here for that.
That's gonna be a problem.
Right. Like, she need to take her ass up the street and go to the Kingdom and try to holler at somebody up there. Maybe she and Jerry can get it on or something. But yeah, not. And then she can play her little broken pronouns and word games and shit. She could do that up there.
I think that's it. I think she gonna be speaking English from now on.
Yeah, me too. She was up there dressed like she just got out of the fucking American Eagle with them clothes.
But she about to buy all the shit at the golf store.
Right. Oh, anyway. Do you thought she should live in Alexandria? She did try to push up on Rick in front of Michonne, so that could be awkward. Yep, see, you thinking like us. Maybe Negan will be her new prison bae. We shall see. Peace, Turk. Yeah. Peace. I don't want nobody down there talking to Negan too much. Maybe Rick. Go down there and talk some shit. Okay, so this is what I wanted to say though. Okay, now it's over. The war is over. I love The Walking Dead. I'm still planning on reviewing the next season. I'll definitely be back. But the entire problem I had with this arc, they added too much shit and they got too greedy and they made this shit two seasons of a fight that was really about one.
Right. Me and you talked about this.
You know, like, it really would have been just fine at one. And I feel like this is how I feel at home. I'm not in the writer's room, but I feel like they add shit to stretch out a meal that isn't worth stretching out.
Mm-mm.
Oceanside, we did all that shit with Oceanside for a payoff of 10 seconds of them throwing Molotov cocktails. We don't even get them talking to each other after that.
We don't need the Junkticons.
Yeah, the Junkticons just to get killed. Just to set up Simon as like a bad guy, Civil War type thing over with the Sanctuary, which was a decent subplot, but we didn't even really need to see all that shit. You know, the Junkticons would just show up. Everybody's courting them to get them on their side, and they show up, and they're never good at fighting.
And they always ran.
Right. Oceanside, they just didn't want to fight, and by the time you get them to fight, it doesn't really matter. You know, the Eugene storyline, just like, I'm not so mad at the Eugene storyline as much as if it would have been 16 episodes instead of 32 episodes or will he, won't he, or whatever the fuck. I feel like it would have been less tedious, you know.
Right.
You know, as I know there's some people that have been like, I can't believe Carl died for this and shit. I've seen that on social media. It's weird because I never saw people that had that much affection for Carl as a character.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of people that kind of shit on the character all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now that he's dead, it's like he's the greatest thing ever. I'm not 100% sure what that's about. It's kind of like, what, damned if you do, damned if you don't, because they wanted to make a bold decision and kill off somebody that people didn't see coming.
Right.
And they got me, you know, and that's, to me, that's kind of what made the show good to me at first, was like, they kill people and you feel like nobody's safe because they're willing to take a chance that another show wouldn't. At the same time, this sort of meandering with the plot for two seasons, that's what is insulting. I don't care about which characters die. I think Carl's death had a huge impact on the show, and that, and it was okay. Like, I'm fine with it, because it shifted the only way that war was going to end in anything other than total desolation for both sides was if somebody like Carl died and said, like, we got to be bigger than this. Because Rick wasn't about to listen to nobody else. But all that being said, man, I just really think I have no, there's no reason to me that this couldn't have been 16 episodes.
Yeah, and that has a lot to do with why the ratings dropped.
Oh, for sure, because they got greedy. They started doing hour and a half episodes, and it felt like of that hour and a half episode, 45 minutes felt like commercials.
It was.
You know, I'm not saying it's exactly right, but that's how I felt. A special extended, and then like the plot wouldn't even need to be extended. It's like they just added two extra scenes to everything. It's like, okay, and it got redundant. You know, I still remember the episode with the Savior's roadblocks, you know, and I'm like, yeah, but if they would have just done like three roadblocks instead of five, it's not like we would have been like, oh my God, they're not trapped. You know what I mean? Like the extra couple scenes of them hitting another two roadblocks, just take it out, make it an hour. Why you got to stretch it out? But you know, the show got kind of greedy, and I guess it makes sense because the ratings kept going up. They were monetizing it, video games, tablets, and cons, and all this shit. But I think at some point they got so greedy, they never thought, what if this implodes?
Correct.
What happens when it's not popular anymore? What happens now, you know, now that we're openly fucking with fans after this Glenn shit, what happens with people when they're like, I don't want to deal with this, you know?
Yeah, and truth be told, a lot of people stopped watching after Glenn, and they mm-hmm. really never came back.
Right, and the wolf thing was kind of cute, you know, I didn't mind that. But that one was kind of fast.
Right, that's what I liked about it. Before then, everything was fast and quick. We was in and out. Half a season to a season, you were through.
Yeah, the pacing got all fucked up on this show. Now, hopefully with a new showrunner, it'll be better. They did say some stuff about, oh, it's going to be like a new show in season nine. And, you know, maybe they'll do a time jump like Fear the Walking Dead or something. I don't know. But yeah, man, it's just, you know, now that it's over, I feel like it's fair to judge. And I just feel like the shit took too long. You know,
it was two seasons, and this shouldn't have been all this shit should have been two seasons.
Like, I didn't really have a problem with how it ended, to be fair, because the pacing was boom, 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 and then it's over
once it got towards the end.
But they could have boom, boom, boom this shit a year ago,
right?
They didn't have to, like, the it's their fault that it didn't end strongly last season with the whole, you know, and then we meet Oceanside, then we meet the Jundicons, and then we have a plan, but then we don't. Then Negan and Rick have a fist fight, and then that's the end. Like, you know, it took like a whole season just to convince Rick to fight back in this joint. That's way too long. All right, guys, that's it for today. I hope my voice wasn't too bad for you guys. I'm sorry.
You did a great job.
All right. We'll see you guys. I'm supposed to record Balls Deep in the morning with Justin. I will holler at him and let him know. I don't know if I'm gonna do it or not, or if I do, maybe I'll have him do it remote so he don't get sick.
Right.
Maybe I'll be feeling better in the morning. I don't know. Anyway, the point being, we may or may not have Balls Deep this week. And so we'll probably see you guys Saturday if we don't. If we do, I'll see you in the morning for Balls Deep Sports, for premium people. And my review of, A Quiet Place is up with Reagan Gomez. It's really good. Like, I normally don't brag on my own shit, but we talked for a long time, and we talked about more than just that movie. And Reagan's such a funny and knowledgeable person, and a person with experience in the industry and stuff. So she just had everything, and she loves that movie. So I was just sitting back letting her talk, because she knew everything better than I did. She saw it twice. I only saw it once. So she just would be like, and what about this? And what about that? I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. Go ahead. Nah, explain. Teach me. You know what I mean? I'm here to learn.
Because that's her wheelhouse.
Right. So that was dope, man. All right, guys. Y'all have a good one. We'll talk to y'all Saturday. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.